Welcome guys to Forge Gamer's first podcast, the first number one podcast.
The first official episode of the Forgecast.
My name is Lovecore.
Melican.
And we're going to talk today on the economy and what we kind of hope to see from the economy of the game. This is kind of a really big topic, if you ask me. And this is probably something we could cut up into more and more podcasts and write a lot of articles on and that type of thing. It's a very vast thing, and it's something that kind of touches every player in the player base.
Yes, and we're going to do an overall of what we would like to see for the economy, so we can tell Stoneblade
Entertainment.
What the name is
Gary Games.
It's going to be Gary Games.
Yeah. So what we expect is I'm hoping for. I mean, like we were just talking, not the WoW economy. That is not what I want to see.
No, not what that is degenerated into where. You have some cards that are $100+. It costs almost $1,000 to get into that game competitively. And that's not healthy. Not healthy at all.
You're losing players. I played a lot, stopped playing, thought about coming back. When I saw the prices of cards, I thought that was ridiculous. So you're losing players and you're deterring new players from coming in. I mean, there's just a lot that affects this type of, a lot of outside things that affect the economy and will essentially just drive the game itself. I guess the first thing let's talk about is card value. Because that's kind of, WoW card values are absurd. $100 a card, $120 a card, that is ridiculous. That's not something that I hope to see. I hope we never see something like that.
Yes.
We
won't. I mean, packs are going to be, they've said, and this might change, $2
right.
per pack. Which will drive down the prices to begin with. So we won't see that. We're going to see, hopefully, at most $10-$15 a card.
$15 a card? I think that's reasonable.
That's reasonable.
I don't know. It depends. For the casual player, that's not reasonable. Say you're the casual player and you've got $20 a month that you've budgeted for yourself to put into a game. You really want to spend $20 on one card or a card and a half? That's kind of high for, again.
That's true, but you could do three drafts.
You could do three cards. I mean, yeah, there's a war, the possibilities are really good. I mean, I personally wouldn't want to see a card over $10.
Me neither.
I think up to $10 is fine. And I'm sure there will be cards that are worth, that are going to be way, way, way more than that.
Sure.
I'm sure when the game first launches and if it hits as big as we all hope it does, we're going to see cards going for $30, $40 while they're in demand. That type of thing. It's the same effect that we see for every card game when a new set comes out. Cards get priced very, very high.
And then they eventually level off.
The nice thing about doing that with Soulforge is that once Gary Games or Stoneblade, they see that, they're gonna errata that card. Hopefully there's something that says, oh shit, we just made a card way too strong and we should have tested that more. Let's change it. It'll be out for 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe in its current format, and then they'll errata it. And then in the next push update they do, maybe a hot fix, that type of thing.
And then errata, just the threat of errata, will help keep the prices out because,
yeah,
as you just said, a price getting up to like $30, which for this game should be very high, will send up a red flag that, hey, we need to take a look at this card. Maybe we need to tweak it a little bit just because it's doing stuff that it's not supposed to be doing.
Right. And on the price of a card, we are obviously talking in real dollar amounts.
Yes.
And we obviously know we're going to probably see stores coming up for these type of games. But all of this is kind of hinged on a trading system, which I hope we see in beta. I hope that's something they implement in the beta so that they can get our feedback on it.
My question is, how would they even test that beta?
Well, you say in beta you get 1,000 Gary Game points. And you can just go to the store and buy 1,000 packs of cards. That's how you test it. Everybody can spend as much money as they want.
They can take everything away,
and
instead of giving everybody every card to play with, which I'm sure they will have,
which will be
events or whatever that let people do that, they'll have more restricted card pools where you get a dollar,
right?
You can spend on packs,
right? And that would help. That helps with the trading. That way they can find a way to post up on bulletin boards, or you're posting in trading rooms, or maybe you have some type of digital avatar with a little bubble above his head says, looking for, whatever card. Who knows? I mean, there's a billion ways that I would love to to get my hands on and really help with feedback on that type of thing. But everything, essentially the whole card economy is based on a trading system. If there's no trade system, we're not seeing an economy. People are just gonna pour money into booster packs, or if they do booster boxes, essentially, there won't be any economy. People will just buy it till you get it.
And then that'll Some just... people will. The people who can afford to will buy it till they get it, and the people who can't afford to won't play.
Well, exactly. They just won't play. Again, that's something we don't want to see. So I feel having a trade system is pivotal to the success absolutely. Of this game.
I don't think they're going to launch it without some sort of trade system. We just got to help them tweak it to figure out what is the right way to do it.
Right.
Now, the trade system I want to see is something like what you would see out of World of Warcraft.
Me too.
Where they don't have this, but they have if you put it up, a have-want list, and then you have a trade window that you can open up with anyone who has an account and see their have-want list and say, okay, you have this, you want this, I have this, I want this for this, do you agree?
Right.
And then they can, it goes to them, they look at it and they say, okay, this seems decent, but I'll give you this and this that you want from your want list for what that you have.
Right, right. And that is also hinging on a mail system as well.
Yes.
Another thing that I hope we see in beta.
The singles market, third-party retailers are going to be very important.
I think so too.
For a variety of reasons. First of all, for content. If you look at, like, Magic, the two probably biggest sites, and this is arguable, is Star City Games and Channel Fireball. They both sell cards and they both have articles, which give content for your casual players, for anybody to, and it really helps people get better at the game without having to sit down and play tons and tons of games.
Right.
And now, without a site that sells cards, those articles don't exist because they can't afford to pay people to write those articles, and therefore those players will just pour their knowledge, because the only way they're going to get money is by winning tournaments, and if they start sharing what they know, it drops their chances of winning tournaments.
Yes. So I really hope that we do see, well, first of all, I hope the game takes off well enough to see third-party markets. That's
true.
That's very true. If the game isn't as big, I mean, there's been digital card games everywhere, you know, Shadow Arrow is a really big game, believe it or not, and you don't see a singles market for them. But that's because they're not exactly oriented like Soulforge. We hope to see it set up.
Yes.
There's no trade system, none of that. So, you know, they have the internal market where you can buy cards with coin, and that's that.
And speaking of which, in auction halls.
Yeah.
One thing we would be horrible for this game. Auction houses where you trade in-game currency for cards promote your cards to have no value.
Right.
Because that's what happens. They basically just have no value.
No, yeah, exactly. So I hope that the game is big enough that we can hit for an independent retailer, third-party retailers to have their own store, even if it's just to maybe pay for extra draft points or, you know, something, who knows.
Pay for running the website.
Yeah, that type of thing. I'd like to see the game that big. I mean, hell, if WoW can do it, Soulforge should be able to handle it. So the next thing that I wanted to talk on, I mean, we talked about the trade system and the auction hall. Let's talk about the cost of a deck.
Okay.
I know we kind of touched on, we wouldn't want to see a card worth more than $10. Mm-hmm. And at this point, it is 3 cards per deck. 30 card decks. That makes the cost of a deck a lot less than when we originally, when we did our first cast, it was still unknown whether we were 3 or 4 cards, 40 cards, 30 cards.
Yeah.
So now that we know, well, the best we know is that the iOS demo, is 30 card decks, 3 cards, max of a copy. This really drives the price down on the competitive deck from where we thought originally thought was 50 to 100. You know, to $30 maybe. You know what I mean? I mean, it's this is great. I think that the choice for Stoneblade Entertainment to switch from a 4 copy of 40 card to 3 copy 30 deck is another thing that has a pretty big impact on the economy of the game. People are going to need less of these cards to create a competitive deck. And I couldn't tell you a billion times at our local store where I've been, you know, I've got 3 Tundras and I need one more and I've got nobody there to find one. It can make or break the deck.
I have 2 and now I need 1.
Now I need 1. But in actuality, 15 card packs for $2 a piece, that's far easier to obtain than, I know the example's a little extreme because Tundra isn't in packs anymore, but you know what I'm saying is like, the accessibility to cards are a lot more because you won't be collecting 4 ofs. You'll be collecting 3 ofs and then anything extra, you're gonna trade off.
That's true. But still one.
But at the cost of packs, it's less.
Your base price for, if you buy a pack just for the rare, which eventually is what happens. It's $2 for a rare,
right,
instead of $4.
Right. Which is pretty awesome to have. Alright, let's talk about, currency in games.
Sure.
So, the way I see it is there's 2 possible ways. Maybe more. The only ways I've kind of looked at it is we're talking about real life currency, and then we're talking about real life currency converted into digital point system. Again, a lot like we see in League of Legends, Riot does. The most profitable version of this is to convert your money to points. This is the way that Stoneblade will make the most money. Because for $10, you can get 750 points. You can buy packs with that, and you'll have leftovers. You're more apt to spend more real money to get more points to use those leftovers than you are to just burn them randomly, if that's even an option.
Now, the way I see it is, you buy in-game points, and then you earn the same in-game points through the campaign.
Through the campaign, right.
So that you can use campaign points to supplement ones that you buy, and vice versa. And this will eliminate the problem that you have with Riot Games and League of Legends, where you buy points, you have leftovers, and you need to buy more points to get more stuff. You're always buying more points, and you've always got leftovers. With this, you're never going to have leftovers.
No, you won't. You'll always be able to grind out those in-game points.
That less little bit you need for that
one. Right, for that one booster pack, or, you know, if there is, you know, some type of trade. You know, I'd like to trade cards for in-game currency. I'd like to trade cards for real currency. I'd like to see both of those a viable option. My concern with grinding for in-game currency is that, this is gonna sound kinda crazy, but it would totally be bottable.
That's a good point.
The problem with that is that you could automate a task. Even if you lose and got 10 points for losing, you could run that all day in your sleep without even trying. So that brings up a really big concern of mine. I would not want to see, you know, that happen, because when that happens, we all know the economy crashes. Look at Diablo 3. Total trash 5 months in. Not even. Diablo 2 destroyed the market. WoW is a great example. Everything went from a regular gold cost to a billion gold. So, and that's due
to... I think I saw someone go with too, though, too.
Yo, they're rampant in that game. That's one of the reasons I...
Because I saw a char trying to climb up a hill that you can't climb up to get to a treasure chest.
Oh, what an idiot. So, yeah, that's one thing that does concern me about having in-game currency from the campaign. Now, I would like to see campaign currency and then tournament currency.
Okay.
I'd like to have, you know, you're playing campaign, I'd like for you to earn the currency, whether you win or lose, to be only usable towards campaign cards or campaign collection. And then your tournament currency coming from, obviously, just playing against players or something like that. Those are the type of currencies that I would like to see tradable within the trading frame. Obviously. Or maybe even actual GG points, Gary Game points, or
tournament points can only be used for trades, but campaign points can only be used for CFL.
Campaign points only from maybe a campaign store or buying or unlocking new content. I don't know exactly how they're going to do their campaign.
Because the botting, how would you stop that?
Well, the thing with the botting is you're going to stop the botting in campaign. You're not going to stop it. It's always going to be there, but you're going to eliminate the flux of cards into the tournament market. Because those cards will only be usable in the campaign version. You see what I'm saying? So you would have cards you can only essentially use single player, and then you would have cards you could use, which you would buy with tournament points.
I see what you're saying, but what Stoneblade has already said is that they want you to be able to play this game without ever spending a penny. And what they make it sound like you can play through the campaign to buy your way into tournaments.
Well, that is definitely something we're going to have to touch on again, because there's a lot of questions that definitely...
They've set quite a challenge for themselves.
Yeah, keep that bar high, guys. Keep it high. So that's what I see in terms of currency. I don't, or maybe even using iOS's market or Google Play's market for currency kind of trading, like a lot of other microtransaction games do. That eliminates the need for one thing or another. I don't know. I'm interested to see how this is going to turn out.
What I like to see is all one currency, campaign mode, and tournaments one currency to buy only sealed product. So mine was just destroyed by the whole bombing thing. So, and yours was?
Two forms of payment. Two forms of in-game currency and points.
And the points from the campaign, the ones that you can buy to grind out.
Only campaign, only campaign single stuff. Player / campaign stuff. And then tournament points. I mean, sure you could bot tournaments where you're going to a game and you're just playing two random cards, whatever, and you're gonna lose anyway, but for a player, I mean, you're always gonna get those accounts where it's just a secondary account and the person is just gonna bot it where they don't care about anything else, they're gonna do it anyway, they don't care about their win-loss, they don't care about their rating, they're just gonna bot it for the coin. And that's even assuming you get a decent amount from losing, which I don't know. It's hard because you want to reward a player for playing, whether they win or lose.
That's true.
And you want to reward a player for winning. It's just the amount of how much you're going to reward the player will determine.
Yeah, how little can you give without having them to frustrate me?
And exactly. Exactly.
Also, how do you feel about campaign-only cards?
I love the idea of campaign-only cards. Absolutely love it. I think that's something that's going to appeal to a lot of players. It's going to keep casual players playing, because a lot of players like card games, and a lot of players don't like that competitiveness to it. You know what I mean? A lot of people just like to play, they're going to the bathroom, they want to play, you know what I mean? Like, they just want to do something to kill that time. A lot of players out there aren't like us, where we want to sit down and have a serious PvP throwdown with other players and do fun stuff.
Casual players also like big broken stuff.
Right, that's very true. I think that depending on how they do their campaign, I think campaign-only cards are great. I think if, you complete the first campaign with a certain faction deck only, you can get an achievement for that, and that achievement translates into a card. Or something of the sorts. For it's only for campaign use only. And I don't really see a problem with that, as long as you're able to trade and trade said campaign cards. I don't see why not. I don't see what the harm could be in that.
One thing I thought of is, when you first open an account, what should you get?
High fives.
Well, like they said, they want it so that you can play through the game, never spend a dime, and play competitively. That means you're going to have to get something when you start.
You are going to need random boosters to start, I think.
Random boosters or some sort of starter deck? Well, a campaign-only starter deck? Or a starter deck that you can use anywhere.
Well, how about, okay, so you start the game and you need to, say, be level 2 before you can play PvP. Okay? When you first create an account, it gives you an option. You get 4 faction-themed decks to choose from. You pick one, and they give you 2 boosters on top of that. I think that's a fair way to start your account.
And this was my problem. What's to stop from people from just making 100 accounts taking the booster packs?
That's true.
I was wondering if you should just do one starter deck, themed, pre-built, set cards, and that's all you get.
I'd be okay with that too. I think that's actually a better solution than getting booster packs with it. Unless the booster packs weren't per se booster packs as much as startup packs, which have the same 10 or 15 cards in it, regardless to what faction you pick. They weren't random, and they just weren't cards with high value.
Cards that you can just supplement into your starter to tweak it the way you want.
Yeah, So I think that,
that's gonna do it for this episode of the Forge Cast.
Great, guys. So, again, swing over to Forge Gamers, like us on Facebook, find us on Twitter, let us know what you want to hear in these podcasts. You want to come on and talk with us? Awesome, let's do it.
Yes, we have plans to do a live cast podcast in the near future.
Yep, these first few that we're doing, we're just kind of feeling out the community and
talking
what
about
seeing.
Things we think are important, structure, just getting us ourselves out there.
Yeah, so we definitely want to hear from you guys. Swing over to ForgeGamers.com. Let us know what you think. You hate us? Come on, tell us you hate us. I don't care. I want to hear everything from everybody.
But tell us why you hate us.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
Little
constructive hate. Is that a thing? Thanks for tuning in, guys. And again, I'm Lovecore.
Nelican.
And that's it, guys.